You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time now on RNIB Connect Radio to discuss our beloved four-legged heroes. Yes, it's Guide Dog Blogs time. And joining me today is Mike Brace. We're going to hear about Mike's dog. But before that, Mike, can you tell us a little bit as to, you know, why you applied for, you know, your first guide dog? What convinced you that this is what works best for you?
This is quite a complex thing for me because for 50 years, I said I'd never get a guide dog. I lost my sight age 10 and then went to special school, etc. And I'm talking 60 odd years ago. And in those days, I don't think I ever met anyone that seemed to be under about 100 that had a guide dog. You know, that basically the mantra was very much at the school, if you had good mobility and used a cane, if you were old and therefore had problems with your mobility, you got a guide dog. And so for years and years, my prejudice was, I don't want people's perception of me to have bad mobility. And then moving forward, I was coming up for 60. I was looking at retiring from work. I think the environment had steadily got worse and worse with pavement parking, with street furniture, with overhanging bushes, with pavement ruts, etc. And I just found getting around using the cane getting more and more difficult. And so basically, I thought, you know, this is crazy. You know, there must be a better way of ensuring your mobility and keeping your speed up and all the things that you want to do. And I thought, okay, I'll make an inquiry. And basically, they came and looked at me and assessed me, and we zoomed around with the cane and everything else. And they said, yes, I think you're eligible for a guide dog. And I thought, oh, you know, do I really want one or not? But time got nearer and nearer and nearer. And I thought, yep. And then they said, yep, we've got a dog for you. And I thought, oh. And I must admit, it has been incredible. I wouldn't say it's been life-changing, but it's been life-enhancing because you were able to do all the things that I wanted to do in terms of mobility. And both dogs had a very good turn of speed, so that kept me fit. And basically, traveling became easier. You know, you're not worried about not being met on the tubes, etc., because the dog could find the exits, etc. And suddenly you just had this relaxed form of mobility, plus the companionship and friendship of the dog.
So we'll talk about your first dog. What was it like when you first met Izzy? What was kind of the matching visit like and first impressions?
That was incredible because they told you to sort of sit down and not sort of make a big fuss. And then she came in and went over and said hello to my wife, and then came over and cuddled up and snuggled in and let me stroke her and everything else. And they could see straight away that she was nestling into me as if to say, right, I'm here. You know, hopefully you like me and we're going to be a partnership. And so it became true. I mean, she was just beautiful dog, quite small. She was only 24, 25 kilo. So she was quite neat and trim. And basically the introduction visit went really well. My wife, obviously, who would play a key part, you know, in just supporting me with my first dog, etc., she loved her as well, almost at sight. So the partnership was made, really.
So when it comes to Izzy, what was her personality like? How would you describe her personality as you throughout your kind of partnership?
She was very loyal, very attached. Probably slightly overattached. I mean, she was be very clingy. She would never sort of let me out of her sight if she had a chance. And she would always be sort of nudging near me and coming nearer and nearer. And for instance, if my wife and I then took her for a walk, she wouldn't walk with my wife. She would only walk with me. So she was very attached, beautiful temperament. I suppose the only area really was that she was a true Labrador, and basically the big issue as usual was food. She was much more devoted to scraps and food and sniffs than I was expecting, really.
What were some of her particular standout working skills when you were working with Izzy? What kind of skills of hers stood out to you?
I think the speed that we were able to operate, that for me was a major plus, and I had trust in her that she would be working to capacity at the speeds that we were walking around. She was very, very aware of cars, etc., in driveways. So she would, almost before I would realize there was a car possibly going to pull out of a driveway, she would slow down and almost warn me of it. She was also very good at returning because, I was quite anxious the first time I took let have a free one when I was just with her on my own going through the park. But I could rely on the fact that she really wouldn't go much out of my sort of remit, really, and would always come back very quickly and very assuredly, if she was off the lead and I needed her to come back. She was very good with other people and other dogs as well. She was a bit timid, but basically, wasn't aggressive or whatever. She loved a bit of affection and attention.
Now, to finish off, I like to ask guide dog owners this. What were some of Izzy's maybe funny or quirky habits she had?
Oh, it was this obsession with the food. That was really quite funny. I mean, one of my first experiences, I was traveling on a train up to Cardiff for a cricket tournament, and we got the last two seats on the train, my friend and I, and she was under the seat. And about 3 minutes into the journey, this child behind us started bawling its head off, and the mum of the child said, "Oh, I'm sure it didn't mean to do it." And I thought, "Oh dear." And I said, "Excuse me, I couldn't, I'm hearing. Has my dog done something?" She said, "Yes, she's crawled under the seat and ate my son's donut." And so this poor child is probably traumatized to this day for dogs nicking his donut. But she was a bit food orientated. But again, you have to account for that for the dog and being a Labrador.
Well, absolutely. Having a pure Labrador myself, I can vouch for that. He's not nicked anything off a child, thankfully, but he's certainly done other things, which, yeah, very food-driven dog would do.
I was at the university with her, and we were going for a meeting. So I was a governor at University of East London. We were walking along, and suddenly one of the students went, "Oh, oh!" And I said, "Oh, don't worry, love, it's a guide dog. It won't hurt you." She said, "No, he's just ate my sandwich." And he didn't break. She didn't break pace at all. She just whipped this sandwich out of the student's hand and was walking along with it in her mouth. And the student said, "Oh, well, she can have it." I said, "No, she can't." And then stood in the corridor trying to scrape the sandwich out of Izzy's mouth.
Well, fantastic. Izzy sounds adorable. Next time we chat to you, we'll hear about King and also a book you are writing as well, which you can tell us more about. But for now, Mike Brace, thank you very much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.